This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talo falava to our Samoan listeners and happy Samoan Language Week as well. And of course, welcome everyone to Neesian Footy Fridays, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. And if you haven't already done so, make sure you subscribe to Neesian Footy Podcast so you don't miss a moment with myself, Sam Wykes, and my Cook Island colleague, Tinirao Arona, who is alongside me right now. T.
Kia ora, brother. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. The weeks just keep getting faster and faster.
I know, mate, but there's always rugby union and rugby league across the Pacific and the world to touch on. I have a feeling that this is going to be a heavily rugby union episode because we've got the Super Rugby finals to cover with the king himself, Totai Kefu, and he'll give us a breakdown on the draw and the Moana as well. We've also got the Oceania Rugby Under 20s in held in Fiji.
Yep.
And then we've got the upcoming women's games as well. What's the name?
The Oceania Championships that will be played over there. And we're going to actually cross over to one of the reporters over there for FBC, Matayasi Stark, who's going to fill us in on how both those competitions are going.
And we've also just kicked off the round 13 in the NRL last night where the Knights played the Seagulls, and I'll touch on that game and also give a couple, review a couple games over the weekend. But shortly, I'm actually heading to a rugby league game in Cronulla tonight. Now,
you got the call up for the Sharkies for their Pacifica game?
Absolutely not.
Nah, okay.
It's a special evening because Kevin Iro, the dad, the father of KL Iro, who represents the Cronulla Sharks. So, Kevin, he brought over a team from the Cook Islands, from the Arurangi Bears, and it's their under-13s boys team, and they will be playing the Curranau Stingrays under-13s tonight. So I'll be heading out there doing some work with ABC Pacific and, you know, that Pacific Sports Show and getting some footage there. So great evening, and I know that the community, the Cook Island community here in Sydney, will be turning up in Cronulla to support the Arurangi Bears under 13 boys team.
How good's that? That's unreal that the boys get an experience like that to tour over here to Australia. Is your mum, dad, family going as well to support?
100%. They will be there. The thing I love about this game is that these kids, they are, you know, straight from the islands, but they also are from the same place that, and play for the same junior club that KL Idle played for. So for them to go and play this game in Cronulla and then go and watch KL tomorrow take on the New Zealand Warriors at Shark Park and see one of their own, you know, play on the NRL stage, man, it would be a, you know, cool eye-opener for a lot of those kids and, you know, just a moment of where they could see, you know, maybe they can one day achieve their dreams as well.
I was just about to touch on that. Make sure you keep tabs on the names that are in that team because I guarantee you probably in 10 years' time, one of them will be playing for the Sharkies as well, just following the same footsteps as Kale, who's been absolutely killing it for the Sharkies. Good work, T. We're going to get to footy news.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to footy news, I want to just quickly touch on and pay respects to one of the greatest rugby players of all time, Gerry Collins, and his wife, Alana Madill, who sadly passed away in a tragic car accident 10 years ago. And yesterday marked their 10-year anniversary for the great Gerry Collins and his wife. And the reason why I love this guy so much as well, my first introduction with him, I was 18 years of age. I was going into my first sort of preseason with the Waratahs. I knew Ma'anonu through, you know, teenage stuff. I was able to stay at his house as a kid when we played in New Zealand once. And I saw them at Coogee, both of them at Coogee, because they were playing in this Pacifica Beach Touch tournament. And he invited me back for a feed. And then I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to come up there for a feed. And Ma'a goes to Gerry, hey, he's one of the young boys, you know, I met while he was only 15. He's just signed with the Waratahs. He's like, yeah, really? Oh, yeah, sweet, sweet. And then he goes, Kaz, can I give you some advice? And I was like, yep, all good. He goes, my advice is if you ever play against me, don't run at me, cuz.
Did he say that?
He said that, and I was like, yeah, that's all good. I was never going to do that. And he just started cracking up, and then, we just had a feed together after that. So
what a cool fella. He was a beast too.
Beast.
Hitman. Beast. Hitman on the field.
Absolutely.
I've got this one photo. We must have ran into him in a nightclub or at a bar, and I was with the Roosters team, and I've got this photo of myself, Anthony Minicello, Mossy Masoi, and we're surrounding Jerry Collins, and just big smiles on our faces. We're just fanboying that we got to have this photo and this moment with a legend and a All Black. So rest in peace to Jerry Collins.
Hi, my name is Faith Nathan, and I'm listening to Indonesian Footy.
Well, I got the NRL round wrong earlier. It's actually round 14, not 13. That's how fast time is going.
Round 14, wow. Holy, yeah, here we go.
Well, last night, mate, what a game. The Knights taking on the Sea Eagles in Newcastle. I got to visit the Manly Sea Eagles earlier this week, or during this week, just before they took off to the Knights. I was popping in, doing my role as the RLPA, the Rugby League Players Association, and just checking in on a few players. And one thing they spoke about was, you know, consistency, you know, just finding ways to win back-to-back games. You know, they can turn it on, but then they can, on the opposite end, the next week, they can, you know, play some, you know, bad footy as well and lose games. But this was a game of two halves, and I think it shows for the Sea Eagles fans, or Sea Eagles, it shows where they're at in with the season. They can, in the first half, they were unbelievable. You know, they had the momentum. They had six line breaks to the Knights' zero. They scored three tries through Tolukola. He just pushed up through the middle and, you know, went through untouched on a set play, and also, you know, Toa Fofoa Sipley, yeah, scoring it off a quick play of the ball right underneath the post. And then you've got Haumole Olakau'atu, just too strong, running the line off DCE, puts him on, and he just runs over the Knights defenders to score a try. So three tries to none. They go into the halftime break 16-0. And then they come out the second half, and the Knights, I don't know what was said at halftime. All I know, in the first half, when you looked at the Newcastle Knights coaching box, you know, they looked like they had no answers.
Where's the answers? Like, they're looking to the air.
They were struggling.
Yeah.
You know, they had the coaches there. They had, you know, even their recruitment officer at the back. And they were just, you know, just looked confused. But whatever was said at halftime worked, because they come out second half and they put on a show for the Newcastle Knights locals. And even at halftime, Sammy, you're saying off air that as they were walking into the sheds, they were getting booed from their fans. I actually noticed that when they were walking in, I said to my son, we're watching the game, I go, they don't even look like a team right now.
Yeah, they weren't connected as they were walking in the sheds.
But whatever was said at halftime definitely worked. Sam, if you were a coach, what are you saying to a team that's down on confidence, behind on the momentum? How do you get them up for the second half?
That's such a tough question, because I've been in situations where the coach is unloaded and it's worked and it hasn't worked, and then where a coach has just come in cool, calm and collected, said very little and just asked the players to decide how they want to finish this game. And again, that's worked and hasn't worked. But I do believe the effect of the crowd booing at halftime just would have given those boys that feeling of, like, if we're getting booed at halftime, can you imagine at full time if we let this score slip? So I feel like in that moment for the Knights, they just didn't want to have that feeling, and they decided as a playing group in there that they were going to go out and perform in the second half.
And you've got to take into account too, for the Knights, the amount of injuries that they're carrying. So Leo Thompson, he's out through suspension, not an injury, but Jacob Saifiti, Adam Elliott, Bradman Best, all out for through an injury. Tyson Frizzell actually had to come off for a concussion early into the game. So a lot of inexperience missing. How do they find these answers? And one thing I notice, you notice when you watch the Knights, is that they've got some athletic, fast, competitive players across the pitch. And this is where they stood up. When I mean competitive, I mean they compete for everything. You looked at the tries that they scored. So first one, and I have a feeling that this message was sent at halftime: start moving the ball to start getting to those edges, but not move the ball close to their try line where it's easier to defend. Move the ball, take a little bit of risk, and move the ball in the middle, of the field, because that's where they found some joy on the edges. First one was Kai Pierce-Paul, the right back rower. He finds some space halfway through, halfway on the field, makes a break. Fletcher Sharp, their 5'8", the way that he's been playing, athletic, fast, he's pushing up, he goes through, gets the pass off Kai Pierce-Paul, scores a try. Second try, bomb off Jack Cogger. He puts a bomb up, and then you've got the left winger, Fletcher Hunt, another flying winger with a mullet, but athletic, fast. He runs, jumps over Tolu Kola, and then comes down with the ball, scores the try. The third one was a 70 metres out, so 30 metres off from their line. They play a shift play, so they move the ball, get it to the Samoan winger, Greg Marju, who makes a break, breaks a couple of tackles, runs all the way down to the other end of the field, they end up getting tackled, and then they shift the ball to the other winger to score the try, James Schiller. So the Knights definitely have some footy in them. 12 minutes ago, Tommy Talau, he actually scores a try for Manly, and then 5 minutes ago, Fletcher Sharp, he evens it up with another shift from Newcastle Knights. So they go into full-time 22-all, golden point, and then this is where Kalen Ponga steps up. Kalen Ponga puts the ball up in the air for Fletcher Hunt. Fletcher Hunt goes up for it, knocks it back to KP, and Kalen Ponga scores a match winner in golden points. Heartbreaking for the Seagulls because they did have the momentum, they did have the lead, but you could just see the Knights, you know, the way that they celebrated, really needed that win to keep their season alive. So congratulations to the Newcastle Knights. And a couple of other games that stood out for me this weekend. The Dolphins versus the Dragons is a big one because, again, this competition in the NRL, you win two games, you're jumping into the top eight. You lose two games, you're pretty much towards the bottom of the ladder. And the Dolphins are sitting at 11th on 12 points and the Dragons at 8th on 14 points. Now, I'll start with the Dolphins. They had a bye last week. They have the hammer coming back, playing at fullback. The Hamiso Tabuai-Fido missed that big win against the Bulldogs, 44-8, due to his origin commitments. Starting up front for the Dolphins, you have the Cook Island Samoan, Francis Molo, and then you've got the Tongan veteran, Felice Gafusi. Now, I know we've mentioned it, but both of these boys play for Queensland. Do you think they could have the answers to help Queensland save the series, State of Origin? In the Dragons, they have Luciano Leilua. He will start due to Jaden Sua not being named due to his ankle injury. And Raymond Faitala Marina, he will join the bench this week coming up against the Dolphins. You've also got Christian Tuipulotu is back from his hamstring injury, so he will start on the wing. He's part of one of my matchups, Christian Tuipulotu versus Jermaine Sakul. Same side, it'll be an entertaining one. My other matchup is Luciano Leilua up against Kulikefu Fene Feuyaki. I think in terms of Kulikefu, he's got an opportunity to maybe push himself into that Queensland 17. I know he was on the extended list and he was part of that squad for game one, but you know, if Billy Slater's looking for some changes, maybe, you know, Fene Feuyaki is the answer.
Unleash him against Payne Haas. That's your mission if you bring him in. Just give him one mission, go after him, and just see how the young bull goes.
And then on Sunday is one that I've been looking forward to watching. The Tigers versus the Panthers. Why we look forward to this game?
Is this the first time they've matched up against each other since Jerome has left the Panthers?
Yes. Yep. Now you look at Jerome Luai, Sonia Turuva. How do you think they'd be feeling going into this match?
Fizzing like a soft drink, I reckon. Ready to go, chomping at the bits. Giving the Tigers an insight on how his old team would prepare. And so I feel like he's got the formula to help the Tigers prepare well and understand that you don't need to be scared about what's coming at us. He'll instill some confidence.
It'd be interesting to know what the mindset is for teams now playing the Panthers this year, because they haven't had the success over that they have the last 4 years. you know, how is a team like Tigers going and going, man, they're not the same Panthers anymore.
It's not the same Panthers.
And then you've got Jerome and Sunia, who was part of that. Speaking of, Api Kotosel, who was also part of that premiership winning team earlier in those in that first year. And then you've got Terrell Mayer, Panther Jr. Yeah, I think they might have that chip on their shoulder playing their old clubs or old junior clubs. But you've also got Latu Fainu. He will play his first game since round one, and he'll join the bench. He'll join his brothers, Samuela Fainu, who's starting at back row, and then you've also got Sione Fainu at the front row. What a family, man.
Talented, very talented.
And then Penrith, they remain unchanged from their Eels win. Blaze Talangi, he'll start at six. Now, that's a cool matchup. Blaze Talangi versus Jerome Luai. You think Jerome has always partnered Nathan Cleary, and then Jerome's like,
Will there be a bit of chirping?
100%.
Yeah.
There would have to be. Moses Leota and also Lindsay Smith will start up at prop, and then you've also got Laurent Patea coming off the bench. My matchups is Jerome versus Blaze, Jerome versus Nathan Cleary, and Jerome versus Bizza. All three of them.
Jerome versus everyone.
Jerome versus the world.
I mic him up for this game because I'd love to hear some of the little comments that he would have towards his ex-teammates up against Blaze as well, just saying that was my old jersey, you know, those type of things. It'd be cool to listen to, but what a matchup.
And remember, you can air every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. In other news, the PNG Coolmore and North Queensland Cowboys, Zach Labor, has re-signed for another couple of years until the end of 2027. So congrats to Zach. Man, he's a special talent, and I know that the Coolmores will love to have him for the Pacific Champs this year. Same story for Tongan and Cowboy Viliami Vailea. Tongan Gold Coast Titan Jojo Fifita has broken his hand, so he will miss a month. And the Origin squad, Sammy, will be slightly delayed given there's a Monday game this week, but we'll likely know the teams on Monday night. So
it'll be leaked beforehand, I guarantee.
Or Tuesday morning. Yep, there will be some leaks across the media, which kind of...
It ruins it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it ruins it. But yeah, that's all for NRL. And the PNG Hunters, they will host the Redcliffe Dolphins this weekend in Port Moresby. The Hunters are one spot above the Dolphins on the ladder, so this game is crucial. In New South Wales, Jersey Flegg, the Cavite Silk Tails, they are looking to snap up a four-game losing streak. I'm not too sure if snap up, but yeah, break a four-game losing streak when they play the Dragons this weekend. That's all for Rugby League. I'm sure we'll cover more on Monday and next Friday with Origin coming up. But final one for League is all the best to the Arirangi Bears under 13s. Boys, let's get it.
Absolutely. And they're going to have Cook Island royalty there with the mic in their faces, getting all the interviews. So make sure you're kind to my Cook Island colleague. All right, let's get over to Rugby Union. No more Drua or Moana in Super Rugby. Pretty sad that we're not covering any of those games. But there's plenty of Pacifica brothers in all six teams remaining because we are headed into quarterfinal, semi-final footy for Super Rugby Pacific. We are here, T, who out of all the players, Nijan players that we've come across, who's been your favourite to watch or keep an eye out or hear stories about from Super Rugby Pacific?
Oh, Artie, for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a no-brainer,
that one. It'd be Artie. I liked the highlights from Kyron.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, just seeing like that. Him in open space. And then you can't go past the Moana celebrations.
The bin hiding.
Just smashing it. And also your cousin, actually, Patrick Pellegrini. Just his kicking game is... the way that he's, you know, some of those wins, and he's played some crucial parts in those wins. You have to give him a shout out as well.
Oh, mate, you know what I'm loving about Super Rugby Pacific is the fact that you actually watched a fair few games this year. It was interesting for you to be able to comment.
Mate.
Some good highlights that you were able to comment on. So that was my favourite part about Super Rugby Pacific. But let's get into some of the games. I know we'll cross over to the King in Japan and he's going to give his expertise. But the game I'm really looking forward to the most is probably the Brumbies and the Hurricanes. This game is going to be a tight matchup in Canberra. And Brumbies have the best discipline in the comp. They only average giving around 7 penalties per game. And they are third on the list for tries scored. So with that combination around finals footy is a really good stat to have. But defensively, they are and defense wins games. That's right, T. In your eyes, you're a defensive man. Defense wins games.
Correct.
Especially in these type of games, finals footy. So they are second last when it comes to tackle completion and the Hurricanes are number one in the competition for line breaks and defenders beaten. So that might be the Brumbies' Achilles heel in this game, knowing that the Hurricanes have a lot of individual stars, game breakers. If they can get in behind the Brumbies and get fast ball, I feel like that's what's going to hurt them if they can't stop the Hurricanes.
What's that left center's name for the Canes? Killed it last week.
Umanga Jensen?
That's it.
Yeah.
Man, he looks strong.
He's strong, lightning feet. That try that he scored against Moana off that kick kick return, I think it was from a dropout, just wrong-footed the big Moana forward. I think it was Colin Slade, the second row. I just left him, think, see you later.
Yeah, it just felt like every time he got early ball with space, he was creating, whether it was a half break or a quick play and got the defense on the back foot.
Yeah, I reckon that's him. I think that they've got to really shore up the middle there. And I believe Len Ikitau is going to be a key for the Brumbies to be able to stop him and not allow him to get momentum. So that will be a big one. And I think I will go I'm still contemplating, but I think I might go the Brumbies for that one. For them to win at home. The Crusaders versus the Reds. This will be interesting. The Reds, 13 out of the last 14 games, the Crusaders have won. And they are on a 16-game winning streak at finals footy.
The Crusaders?
Yeah, the Crusaders. They didn't make the finals last year, so I guess their streak still counts. But 16 wins in a row postseason. That's going to be tough. Tough for the Reds to win over there. And if they're going to have any chance, Hunter Paisami has to be the main man for the Queensland Reds. And then we look at the Chiefs against the Blues. This one, with the Chiefs winning 9 of their last 11 against the Blues, I feel like Tupou Vaa'i, he's the Chiefs lock. Man, that guy's been on fire this year. Loving the way he's been leading the line-out. His ball carries have been superb. But Hoskins Satutu for the Blues, their number 8. He's fine in his form late in the season. But I just feel like the Chiefs will get over the Blues on this occasion. I feel like the Blues have maybe left their run a little bit too late to find their form. But you never know. That rivalry is pretty strong. And then in other news as well, I saw did you see the Super Rugby Team of the Year come out?
No.
I'm glad you're all over it. But where
did it come out?
Just on socials, mate. Just on socials.
I know you keep telling me to follow those social pages, but
follow Super Rugby mate. Pacific. I get it.
The followers got to stay at a limit, mate.
I follow everyone.
My brain can only take so much content in one day.
Oh, fair enough. But some of our Nisian stars were included in that. We saw Artie, of course, Alan Alaalatoa, Ikanevere, Patrick Tuipulotu, Tavatava Nawai, who was outstanding for the Highlanders in the midfield, and Naholo for the Hurricanes.
Any surprises?
Do you know what? It's a surprise, but obviously he's got the star quality to be in there. But Joseph Swali named it.
He
was in there.
Mate, didn't he only play a few games?
A few games, bro.
Wow.
I felt that was, to me,
wow.
That's a clickbait.
Yep, that's a let's selection. Get people talking about Australia Rugby Union.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one because, man.
I love the bloke, don't get me wrong.
Exactly. He's a great bloke. No, not at all. But you can't play only 4 or 5 games. Have a couple of really good games,
moments,
and, you know, someone like Will Jordan for the Crusaders, who's killing it, they're coming second, miss out. Not one Crusaders player was in there.
And they come and they finished second on the ladder.
One Chiefs player, Damian McKenzie.
Really?
Yep. So I just thought, I don't know who's choosing this team, but I can tell you right now, my Nisian Footy All-Stars team
will be better than
Better than that team. We'll put 50 on this team.
Beauty.
But and then one final one, Naya Dalevu, the former Flying Fijians captain, has announced his retirement from international footy. He's been a great servant in the Flying Fijian jersey, and we wish him all the best. And I'm sure he's still going to be playing some good club footy until he decides to hang him up.
Great work, Sammy. Where are we off to next?
We are now off to Matayasi Stark to give us a rundown of what's happening in Fiji for the Oceania Rugby 20s, as well as the Women's Oceania competition.
Hey, it's Wolf Skelton here, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Oceania Rugby Under 20s Challenge has been going on for the last couple of weeks in Nandi, Fiji, featuring Samoa, Tonga, Fiji and Canada. The final games are tomorrow, and see Tonga versus Canada and Fiji play against Samoa. The Women's Championship is also held over the next week or so in Fiji, with Fijiana, Lofa 15 and Manusina all playing each other once. And one man who is there working for FPC is on the ground to let us know what's happening, Matayasi Stark. Bula, bro, and thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
Bula, guys. Thank you for having me on the show.
Nah, it's great to have you. Hey, how have all the games been so far in Fiji for the 20s?
Yeah, it's been... it's been a one-way traffic so far for the junior Fiji under 20 side, but Canada and Samoa also still in the fight, depending on the results from the games tomorrow. But so far, Fiji with two bonus points win over Canada and Tonga in round one and round two. So yeah, a win tomorrow would surely give them the title. But right now. Yeah, well, I can say it's looking good so far for the home side.
Have a lot of the Fijian locals come out to enjoy some rugby, but also support the home team, Fiji?
Yeah, definitely. It's it looks like a draw game altogether, draw home game. There's a lot of fans in the West, as you've seen with the draw games at Churchill Park. The Western side always has some really enthusiastic rugby fans down in the West, and they fill up the stands in Nandi as well to cheer for the home side, and not just the home side, but also for the other teams competing, Samoa, Tonga, and also Canada, which is really great to see as well.
Before we shift to the Women's Championship, I know you mentioned that Fiji under-20s team has been the standout, but who do you think is the second-best team in this competition, given that Samoa, Tonga, Fiji and Canada are also a part of this competition?
The second-best team for me, I'd say, is Canada. But anything can happen in the games tomorrow. But judging from the past two games, I'd say Canada sits right behind Fiji, even though they got beaten badly in round two, but we saw the game. Round one, they played Samoa, and they got a bonus point as well. They beat Samoa by 40 to 22, I believe. And then Samoa struggled in the game against Tonga, which was a good game as well. But from my end, I'd say Canada is really right up there, the second best team.
What's happening with our other two Pacific Island nations, with Tonga and Samoa? What's happening with them around their performance?
Well, the performance, we can see the probably the development, the grassroots development isn't really right up there for our brothers in Samoa and Tonga. We see, and I've noticed in the two games that they've really struggled to get the flow of their game going. So it's just the difference in player development. You can see in the Fiji side, probably half of the team are based in Australia and New Zealand, whereas for Samoa and Tonga, most of their boys are just based in the islands, with probably about two or four boys from Australia and New Zealand in the side. So I'd say the development is there's a big gap in there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, obviously it's a fantastic opportunity for the boys in the villages and on the islands get an opportunity to play in competitions like this. But sometimes, you know, that level of competition is at one step too far ahead if you don't get the balance right. But nonetheless, very good experience for those boys. Let's go over to the Women's Championship. That starts today as well. How does this format look, and who are the favourites for this one?
Well, this one looks exciting as well. I can't tell who'd be the favourites. Samoa looks strong as well. So does Tonga. We see the Fiji side probably about more than half the team, 17 players that will be playing today are part of the Ndrua setup. So majority of the Ndrua are in there playing. But we've all seen in the past Samoa has the Manusina side they are a really strong outfit. They have players in Australia. They have players in New Zealand as well. So I can't really tell, but I think Samoa has a good chance to take the women's championship this year.
Man, I want to know where the Cook Islands are. I see all these other nations and no Cook Islands. Come on, man.
You need to get your mum onto it, T. She's the lady that gets things done in the Cook Islands. And finally, just a whole sort of wrap up and getting an idea around how much Fiji are loving their rugby at the moment. Like we're seeing the Drua, we're seeing the Fiji Drua women's test matches being played. You know, Scotland will be playing over there. We've got the Under-20s Championship, the Women's Championship. You know, how excited are the Fijians to have so much rugby being played, you know, at home on the islands to be able to go and support?
This is something that I believe fans have always looked forward to, had hoped for over the years. Fiji fans, it's different when it comes to rugby. We've seen that in the Drua games at home especially, and now to have the Under-20s and the Fijiana games, with the Under-20 wrapping up tomorrow and the Fijiana kicking off today, then with the test matches, especially with the team the team that were named yesterday, the extended squad member for the Flying Fijians for the two upcoming tests with Scotland and Australia. It's an exciting journey ahead for Fiji rugby as a whole.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we want to thank you so much for your time, Vinaka Vakalevu. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we get to chat again and get another update on the championships that are unfolding in Fiji right now. Thank you, Matayasi Stark. Appreciate it, bro.
All good, Sam. Thanks for having me.
The Nijan Footy All-Stars!
Each week, myself and Sam pick some players from league and union and we'll add them to our squad, and then we'll choose a starting team at the end of the year. And these lineups are starting to look juicy, Sammy.
Absolutely. I'm going to kick us off. Can I kick us off? I'm excited. Union. I'm excited for this one. I've mentioned him already. Tupo Va'i for the Chiefs, the lock, scored 3 tries last week. Superb. Not those little 1 meter tries either. There was from little kicks, line breaks, and he's been outstanding. So he goes in there as one of my locks. And Rico Ioane, 3 tries last week as well for the Blues, finding some form, and he is now equal first with the great Doug Howlett for the all-time try-scoring record for the Blues on 55 tries.
Well, speaking of records, which is why I'm bringing in this player on my team, Alex Johnston. He scored 3 tries for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, but he is the second player to ever score 200 tries in the NRL, and he's sitting second on the NRL all-time try-scoring list.
Wow, that really trumps Super Rugby tries, doesn't it? 55 tries and then 200.
I do like Rico. He's one of my favourite union players just because of his swag and the way he carries himself. But Alex is on the PNG Flyer. Superstar will be a part of my squad, and joining him is another Samoan star, Sua Fa'alongo. Just the way that he performed against the Gold Coast Titans. They won this game 28-16, and Sua had 4 tackle breaks and also scored 2 tries. And he is just a electric ball of energy. Just love the bloke. So Sua Fa'alongo and Alex Johnston, they will be joining my Nijan Footy All-Stars squad for 2025.
Well, everyone, this is Kevin Angama from the Fiji Butty, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, every week on Nisian Footy Fridays, we welcome in a Pacifica rugby legend. He played for the Wallabies 60 times, coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years, and will lead the Pacifica and First Nations Indigenous team against the British and Irish Lions later this year, live from Japan. He joins us right now. King Gefu, welcome, brother. How was that last game for the Kintetsu Liners?
Yeah, no, we bombed it. I mean, they deserved to win. We lost by 15 points, and we needed to win by 5 points or more. And we were actually leading up till halfway through the second half, and they were just too strong for us. We made too many silly errors, and they just put a lot of pressure under us, and put us under pressure. And they just got away from us. So boys had a real crack, but it's been a good season. We'll be back in second div again next year.
Was it a sad farewell for players like Will Guinea and Quade Cooper?
Yeah, it really was. And there's actually a whole host of players leaving. So it was very sad, but it was an enjoyable, 2 days farewell.
2 days?
2 days?
Yeah.
Bit of karaoke. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I only just got home yesterday.
Mate, you look fresh too. Like, you know how to back it up, eh?
Old school dog, mate, in me still.
Still got it. And how many times did Purple Rain get sung at karaoke?
Two, actually. I think people just skipped it, fast forward it when it kept coming up.
Well, get it ready for when you come back to Australia, because obviously there's another big event that you're planning for with the Indigenous and Pacifica team playing against the British and Irish Lions. What's unfolded since we last spoke?
I've had a couple of conversations just with the RA contact. You know what? I don't think Rugby Australia actually know what's going to hit them when this game comes on. I think There's going to be carver parties in the foyer. Cousins and brothers and all the players probably camping out outside the hotel. They'll come and join us for breakfast, lunch and dinner. I think the food bill is just going to go through the roof. So RA don't know what's going to hit them yet.
I reckon they should give a call to the All Blacks management, because this reminds me of when Lima Sopoanga used to play for the All Blacks and me and my family rocked up. Anyway, he's like, come in. It was after a game, and he's like, come in for a feed with the team. We're like, no, it's all good. He goes, nah, trust me, there's a lot of food in there and there's a lot of family members that join us. So feel free to come through, make yourself at home. And what the cool thing was, the boys would come with like a couple of beers and go, here you go, bro, and sit down, make sure mum and dad felt welcome. So I'm sure RA will take some notes and provide the family a lot of food.
They just need to go straight to their coaching staff, wealth of experience of bringing family into the environments. So hopefully they take on what they say. But just around, ticket allocations and stuff like that as well. Like usually it's what's it in league that the player would get?
I think it's four.
Four. I think it's the same in union. Four. Obviously with the British and Irish Lions, that would be hard to come by. What's the ticket allocation like for all the Kazis and stuff like that?
When I used to play, it was only two, but I haven't heard anything yet regarding the ticket allocation, but they're going to have to be quite, generous on that, because there'll be a lot of requests. I've had over 10-15 requests already.
But on the player selection, I just seen Daniela Tupou come out recently and just talk about like he's not happy with his form, bit worried about not making the Lions test series for the Wallabies. For someone like him, would you want to pick someone like him to be able to get him in a different environment that probably feels more like home for him to help spark, that internal fire again that he had before and try and get that confidence back?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Look, I think we all know how good he is, and he's just not at his peak at the moment. I don't think he's fully fit. And we're only halfway through the year. He's got the British Irish Lions. He's got the end of season tour. He's got the Tri Nations. So he's got time. You know, and the more games he can play, the better. So even if he was in the Wallaby squad and not playing and maybe coming off the bench, bring him over to us for that one game. You know, we'd start him playing for as long as he could.
I think that's an environment like what you and Tana and having Sikopi there, obviously Glenn Eller as well, I just think it'd be really good for him just to, yeah, enjoy footy again, what it's all about. I just think that would be the perfect environment for him.
In regards to your preparation for camp, will there be, you know, some cover sessions, some of them, you know, a lot of cultural, getting the right balance between culture, helping the players understand and learn more about their cultures alongside the preparing for a game against the British Lions?
Yeah, look, I think if you break it all down, that cultural side is, you know, in essence, just about the connection, you know, to the land, to the sea. The most important thing for us is just the connection between all the players and the staff and the management. That's probably the most critical thing for us. The way we're going to play, it's not going to be too technical or advanced. It's going to be quite simple. You know, there's going to be obviously some real critical policies that we need to play by, but really we're just going to really lean on players' X factor, their own skills that they've honed over the years. And we're just going to really enjoy every day, really. You know, there's not going to be too much stress. There will be a few carver parties, especially for the men. it'll be a really experience. I want all the players to take away the experience we have together without jeopardizing. I want to win. That's the end result for us as well, is our performance.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to seeing what the boys bring and what type of style you play, because I'm really hoping that you bring like a bar style as well, some tap players, kicks over the head, something up your sleeve. But we'll talk more about tactics when we get closer to that game. But let's shift over to Moana and the Drua. Their season is over. Their seasons are over, sorry. I just want to get a quick summation. You like that word, summation?
Give us the definition.
Just summarizing, a sum up of their season. I heard it on radio, someone else using it. I was like, I want to use that. Summation. Am I even saying it right? I don't even know. But anyway, can you give me something around the wrap-up of both those teams and how they went in Super Rugby this year?
Yeah, look, I think Moana would be pleased with how they finish. I think disappointed last week against the Canes. Had an opportunity to probably cement a top six spot and a final. But I think overall, I think they've got to be pretty happy to be one win away from a finals berth is quite outstanding, and they've unearthed some really, really unbelievable talent. You know, obviously Artie's always up there, but you know, I think Pellegrini, Kyron, Taumafalau, Willie Havili's just getting better and better every year. So I think if they can keep that that development going, they're going to be a real force, I think, in the next couple of years. Drua, on the other hand, I think, look, there's some positives. I know they finished down the bottom of the table, but they've really grown the depth in their squad. You know, we've talked about this all week with Jacko just rotating the squad, giving everyone a go. Unbelievable talent. It's just the amount of talent they got available to them is scary. Some of the tries they've scored this year, you know, we've talked about this. Unbelievable. No other team can score tries like they can. But obviously, on the other side, things that they need to fix up, just consistency around the set piece, discipline, simple errors. You know, it's something we talk about every week when they do have a bad game. That's something they need to fix. And I think moving forward, from a coach's point of view, maybe a more consistent team selection every week could help them. But overall, I think in both teams, they've unearthed some unbelievable talent. And that's what the whole, this whole idea of bringing two Pacifica teams in was to try and unearth that talent and all that and just showcase it to the rest of the world.
Yeah, you're not wrong there, especially when you think about some of the positives from the Drua. And I was talking with T on Nesian Footy Monday, just individually, defenders beaten, clean line breaks, they were still in the top four of the competition. Yeah. But just patience and discipline, consistency, and just staying in the moment for the 80 minutes, it just hurt them to be able to convert those individual efforts into tries and wins. So they don't need to reinvent the wheel. They just, yeah, exactly what you just said. All right, finals footy's here, and we'll start with your Reds up against the Crusaders. This is going to be a tough one, considering the Crusaders are 16 in a row when it comes to finals footy. I know they didn't make the finals last year, but postseason they're on a 16-game winning streak. Can the Reds get it done?
I think they can. I think it's going to be a lot closer than the earlier clash, Christchurch, early in the year. I think there was they got smashed. I think it was about 40 points to 15 or something like that. So, look, there's no bigger challenge in Super Rugby than playing the best teams in Auckland or in Canterbury or down in Hamilton. So
or Dunedin.
The wooden spooners, the dirty south.
They're still bloody tough. I think they did beat the Reds down there in Dunedin. But anyway, I think the Crusaders, I think I mentioned the Reds needed to have a home final to be really successful and go deep into the finals. They didn't secure that. There was a couple of games they should have won this year that would have given them the home semi-final. Look, I think Crusaders are going to be too good. I don't think it's going to be a whitewash like it was earlier in the year. I think maybe 10 points.
And on to the next game, Chiefs versus Blues. This looks like a special one. Who are you tipping and which players are you looking forward to watching?
Blues to win.
The Blues?
Yes.
The upset.
By a small margin. I just think Blues are just going really good at the moment. I know Chiefs put 80 on Moana a couple of weeks ago. You know, they got Satiti coming off the bench. Even the last couple of games he's played, he's been pretty bloody good. It's going to be a game between DMac and Bowden Barrett. Hey, what a match. I think they're going to be the two All Black 10s. They probably could be playing off for the 10 position for the All Blacks. But it'll be one up front. And I just think the Blues are just coming into their own, peaking at the right time, T.
Great call.
Really? I can't see the upset there. Chiefs are 9 out of the last 11 against the Blues. And I just think that the Chiefs have what it takes up front, but the way that they attack with speed, DMac getting to the edges, I just don't see the Blues having enough to be able to score more points than them. Average points scored for the Chiefs, 39.9 points every game. So
yeah, it's going to be a game between a really good unstructured side against a really good structured side.
Yep.
It's going to be which forward pack's going to dictate the tempo of the game. How's the game going to be played? And I think the Blues will just drag him into the trenches and throw a few little uppercuts and yeah.
It'll be a great game nonetheless. And the final one, the Brumbies and the Hurricanes in Canberra. This is going to be an interesting one. I feel Hurricanes are peaking at the right time. Brumbies have played really consistent this year, but it's going to be a big one down in Canberra.
Yeah, look, I hope a massive crowd turns up. I think the Brumbies at home, they've been pretty good at home all year. And we can't have all New Zealand teams in the semis. Come on, seriously. We need
Who's the most important player for the Brumbies then of our Nesian stars out of, you know, Len Ikitau, Valentini, to be able to get them on the front foot against a solid Hurricanes team that, you know, defensively they're proven as well.
Yeah, Bobby V needs to stamp his dominance tonight. I think he's a bloody good player, but I think he can, transform himself into that bloody top echelon of back row players. Like, he's good enough, but I think he's just hanging around, just being consistently good every year in Australia. I want him to absolutely dominate the world this year and over the next couple of years, which he can do. So I reckon if he can start that tonight, yeah.
Hopefully, yeah, he gets him on the front foot. And finally, before we wrap it all up, I believe that you've put in the good word for myself and Tinira Arona around getting on the junket. Have you casted that magic wand of yours and put in the good word for us? Because we've been getting some emails and we could be there.
Mate, I've called in a few favours, and mate, I've gone reached to all corners of RA, and I think I might have something for you boys.
We're on because yeah, I've been CC'd in a couple of email chains where awesome. My name, you know, wasn't great amongst RA before, but I think you've polished it up for me.
That's right. Well, like Japan, when I threw your name around. Hey, and mate, it wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
Some people said that you still owed him money.
All the Super Rugby teams want their money back as well from the way I played. They felt like they've really lost. So I appreciate you putting in the good word for us, and hopefully we see you face-to-face to Indonesian Footy Friday, back end of July. In that week of camp for the Pacifica and in
our First Nations team. Imagine that panel, me, you, King Kev's, Tana Umanga.
Oh, we're good to go. Stop it, Kepu, mate, you name it, we'll have it, but watch this space. Awesome, brother. We will talk to you next week. Always appreciate your time.
All right, boys, enjoy.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yep, just a quick reminder that the winner of this Knockout Tipping Comp receives a jersey of their choice from the loser, and I'm winning 15-13.
And we were donuts last week. None of us got any right. Is that what I'm reading
here? A combined score of 0 out of 4, but I did get 1 point because remember our little side bet with Moana getting a bonus point or not. So I did get 1 point.
I was picking with my heart there, not really my head on that one.
This is a tipping comp, but once we choose that one team, we cannot choose them again until we pick the rest of the team. So we'll start with NRL. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 more teams to pick from. Raiders, Dolphins, Rabbitohs or Bulldogs. Only because I think the Dragons will beat the Dolphins. So I'll go the Bulldogs. And in rugby union, next, so you go league.
Let me go league. So you're going to say the Dragons are going to beat the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can only choose out of the Eels, Dolphins. I can choose either the Titans or the Broncos.
Go the Eels.
Over the Bulldogs? Nah, no way.
We'll go head to head.
Nah, don't want to do that. I need to catch up. Do you reckon who? Broncos? They're in a form slump. Titans? They're not great either. Dolphins.
If I was picking out of those four, I'm definitely going Broncos.
I want to take your word on. I'm going to go Broncos. Broncos. Yeah, Broncos it is. Broncos.
And Perfect. Then rugby union, finals time. So we definitely have to be tactical in this one. So I'm going to go the Crusaders beating the Reds.
I'm going to go the Brumbies. Strategically, yep. I'm going to choose the Brumbies
to beat the Canes.
Beat the Canes. That's me. No chance.
Nah.
One chance and no chance. Okay.
It's going to be all New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm scared that's going to happen. It's happened so many times before. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see how that all unfolds, and we'll get all the updates on Monday. We're not on a Monday.
No Monday
show. We'll get it the following Monday, all the updates. But that's us done. Phoenician Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates. Tell everyone about our Monday and Friday shows, and subscribe to the podcast. Just search Phoenician Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.